Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good. I love that call and response. That's good. I am so happy to be here with you this morning. If you are brand new visiting or you are like have not been around for a while, we are in a year-long series right now where we're talking about different spiritual practices called overflow. These practices pour living water into us so we can pour that out and be living water for an empty age. And specifically this year, we've talked about prayer and Sabbath, things like simplicity and fasting. And this month, we are talking about generosity and service. Last week, Rich talked about how we can't experience the generosity of Christ's love if we won't allow him to serve us. And today, we're talking about generosity. We're zeroing in on what true generosity actually is. Generosity can be scary for us because it often requires us to sacrifice something. I mean, in order to give something, you got to give something away, right? But Scripture teaches us that generosity is not something we need to be afraid of, but rather it is something that injects blessing back into our lives because it shows us how much God loves us and enables us to share that love back with the world. When we step into this space of generosity with trust in God, what we really see above and beyond anything is that faith fuels our generosity. Faith fuels generosity. When I was in seminary, I had a month where I had some tuition that was due, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I was really prideful. I didn't tell anyone what was going on. And at the same time, there was a couple that was like a mentor couple to me, and the husband reached out and was like, "Hey, Wes, you want to grab dinner?" And I said, "Absolutely, I'll grab dinner with you." And so we went, and we had a great meal, great conversation. And as we're leaving, he hands me a white envelope, and he says, "I want you to know that my wife and I are praying for you, and we believe in you and your call." And then he left. And I opened up that envelope, and inside it was a check for exactly the amount of money I needed to pay for my tuition. I kid you not. I had not told this couple about my struggle. I had not told anyone about anything. But because they had faith in God, and they lived with a generous spirit, they were able to bless me far more than I could have ever imagined. God did that through them. This story is an example of what happens when faith fuels generosity. Faith forms the foundation for us to be able to spill God's love out of our lives and bless those around us. Max Lucado says that faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. So essentially, faith is trusting in God's will and power above our own. And as I was thinking about this over the past week, I kept getting drawn back to this painting that I really love by an artist named Bryn Casey. If you have never heard of her, look her up. Her stuff's great. But this is a painting of the Amelia Island boardwalk. I've never been to Amelia Island. I just really like the painting. But as I was thinking about this painting and I was thinking about faith fueling generosity, I was struck by something. You see, the boardwalk creates a pathway over the dunes so that you can get to the beach. You know, if you didn't have that there, you'd be walking on all the spiky little things, and honestly, it's probably illegal in certain areas to walk on the dunes. But you need the boardwalk in order to be able to walk in security. So when we think about faith fueling our generosity, I like to think about it like our faith is represented by the boardwalk in this picture. It allows us to walk over our worries and our fears of the unknown, to step into a space where we can receive God's blessing. And so in that same vein, I like to think about the beach as a space where we can experience the blessing of God's generosity and where we can invite other people into that blessing with us to share. So this is what God has to say about the result of generosity in our lives. If we walk by faith, and if we allow God to be that foundation for us, then we don't need to be afraid of generosity. We can have faith that through God, whatever we give is going to be a blessing. But first, in order to develop our faith so that it can form a foundation for us to walk on, we need to understand how God is generous with us. And we're going to turn to our scripture in a second, but I'm going to point out two things to you about how God is generous with us. And the first one is that God is generous with us by providing for our needs. Hold on to that for a second. God is generous to us by providing for our needs. God does not always give us what we want, but he does give us what we need. He is our Father in heaven, a loving Father who has known us from before we were born. So who knows our needs better than him? So I want you to keep that in mind as we turn to our text this morning. It's from 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is a story about the prophet Elijah when he's in the middle of a difficult drought and what God has him do. So picking up in verse 2, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I've directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me really quickly? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill our study of this scripture this morning, that we would hear more of you and less of ourselves. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, so I'm not the only one that thinks this story is kind of weird, right? Like God sends ravens to go and bring food to somebody. Like, hadn't heard of Uber Eats, but like this is not how I would personally like to receive God's provision. But through the image of the ravens, we see a beautiful image of how God provides for our needs, how he is generous by providing for our needs. In this season of drought, God provided for Elijah. And it's important to understand when we read this story that God is sending a very clear message. Because the people of Israel at this time were being swayed toward false gods. And these false gods told them that it was more important to get what they wanted than it was to get what God knew they needed. And so God uses Elijah and the ravens in this story to show that he is our Father, our Creator, who knows better for what we need than any false god. Those false gods could not actually supply. Part of how we see this is in the text, the word for supply in Hebrew is cool. And this word speaks about provision, but specifically it speaks about how God provides the exact measure that we need. Not above, not below, the exact measure that we need. In our world, we are constantly being told to focus on getting what we want. We follow the false gods of trendy clothes and Costco memberships and things like that. Earning what we want. But God's provision has nothing to do with earning. God does not provide for us because of who we are or what we do. He provides for us because he is our Father who loves us. God is generous because he knows what we need. It's like that couple who blessed me when I was in seminary. They provided for what I really needed because they had faith in the full measure that God had already provided for them. Their faith was like a boardwalk that led right to me in that moment. I was more blessed by this measure of provision from God through them than anything I could have drummed up or made happen on my own. God wasn't worried about what I wanted. He was worried about what I needed. As time goes on in Elijah's story, the brook dries up, the ravens stop flapping around, and he is in need once more. Let's pick back up in verse 9 and see what God does. God says to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." Same word in Hebrew for supply, cool, which means that God will provide the exact measure that Elijah needs through this widow. And God has been faithful so far, and Elijah still has faith, and so he goes to Zarephath, and he finds this widow, and he asks her for a drink of water, and then because he so believes that God will provide the measure that he has said he will provide, he asks her to make him some bread. And look at how the widow responds. She says, "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." not dramatic at all. So the widow has no concept of how God could provide for her. She is so focused on what she wants. She's not open to see how God could provide what she needs. And Elijah understands that. So he reframes it. Let's keep reading in the text. He says, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Can I get an amen? God is generous with us, because he provides the measure that we need. But we can trust the generosity of his provision because of the second way that we know he's generous to us. This story shows that God not only provides for our needs, but that he keeps his promises. God is generous to us by keeping his promises. He promised Elijah and the widow that he'd provide for them, and he did. God still promises to be with us and to love us in Scripture, and he is. God promised that the cross would offer redemption for us, and he kept and keeps that promise. We can trust in God's promises, but sometimes that's hard because we live in a world that doesn't keep its promises. I'm sure that all of us can think of a time when someone in our lives broke their word to us, and the hurt and the disappointment that comes in a situation like that. But this never happens with God. God promised he would provide, and he did, the measure that Elijah and the widow and her son needed. He promises to love and be with us, and we can trust that he will keep those promises. I was at a worship night a few years ago that was being led by the wife of a former mentor of mine. This wife's name is Allie Dunnigan. And if you know her, she grew up at Peachtree. And if you know anything about her, it's that she lives by the word of God. And so she was preaching this night, and she spoke on Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, which says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. This is a powerful promise of provision, isn't it? We feel like we have to earn everything in our lives. We have to work for everything. But if we live in this mindset, we miss out on the fact that we can stand in God's promises in faith because he will keep them. We can trust God to provide for us even when it seems like that provision is going to be difficult to attain. Remember that generosity often requires us to give something away, and that can be challenging. And we get into a pinch point with generosity sometimes, and I think that that honestly is because of two things. It's because of scarcity and fear. Scarcity and fear. I want to bring up the image of the boardwalk one more time. Take a look at it. If we have faith, the boardwalk is a representation of our faith. Like the song we sang earlier, it is the firm rock, foundation of God that we can stand upon, that we can walk upon. And the dunes are like scarcity and fear that are trying to prevent us from getting to the beach. If we walk above them, and if we do not forget God's promises and provision, we will make it above to the other side. Faith fuels generosity because it helps us stay above our worries about scarcity and fear. And when we have faith to be generous, God does something incredible. He turns our scarcity into plenty, and he turns our fear into trust. So what is scarcity? This is the worry that we won't have enough to meet our needs. In Elijah's story, scarcity is represented by the drought and the hunger that they feel. But in our world, it often looks like something different. The world around us hammers the fact that to be a functioning member of society, you gotta have a lot of stuff. You need a lot of money. You need the best house, the best friends, the best school, the best job. The list goes on and on and on. But if we live with a mindset like that, it results in feelings of scarcity. Because when you live in a mindset like that, you will never have enough. You'll never have enough. God providing for our needs is something that feels so counterintuitive in a mindset like this. Because it changes the way we think about our work. It changes the shape of the way we live our lives. Because what do those lives look like if we're not working to gain stuff for ourselves, if we're not working to elevate ourselves? In his book, Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund says, the cumulative testimony of the four gospels is that when Jesus Christ sees the fallenness of the world all about him, his deepest impulse, his most natural instinct is to move toward that sin and suffering and not away from it. We don't have to worry about scarcity because God provides for our needs. It is his most natural impulse that when we are in need, he moves toward us. This is the shape of the gospel. This is the shape of our faith. When we work and go through life and do everything we do as unto God, trusting in his provision and walking above that worry and faith, God uses generosity to bless us, transforms our scarcity into plenty, into enough. When we are willing to be generous, we are acknowledging both that Christ is generous with us and that it's important to be generous with others. Elijah and the widow didn't know what they were going to do to survive, but despite that fact, they still said yes to God. Are there things in our lives that we are saying yes to with higher priority than saying yes to God? When we do this, we are saying that our career, our grades, our resources, our time, all those things are much more important to God, much more important to us than what God can provide. And when we live this way in a scarcity mindset, generosity will always seem like a sacrifice that's too great to give, because we're never going to understand God's provision if we don't give ourselves the space to really see it. And that worry over scarcity causes us to live in fear. So let's move on. Let's talk about how God, through generosity, turns our fear into trust. What's fear? It's when we dwell on things that we can't control. God wants us to remember and to stand in his promises. He says we don't have to fear. He wants us to stand in those promises the way that Elijah did. But it's easier to trust in what we can see and control on our own. Because, I mean, our world makes promises to us that seem so tangible and right in front of us. Save this amount of money, and I promise you don't have to worry about anything bad happening to you. Do this, and I promise you'll be cool. Follow this career path, and I promise your life will be happy. These promises and all promises like them that feel like we can reach out and touch them and control them are rooted in the fear of not being or having enough. But God's promises are rooted in his great love for us. And so those are promises that we can always trust. When we trust, we accept that everything in our lives, both what we can control and what we can't, is going to be okay. This is the pinch point of the gospel itself. We have to trust that God's generous gift of salvation is real and stop dwelling on our past mistakes if we want to walk forward into a future life with Christ. If we didn't trust that that promise was true, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. We have to sit still within God's promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 through 12 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. When we trust in God's promises, we can give freely, and it blesses the world around us through his love. Having trust over fear overflows into a space of thanksgiving, like the scripture says. When my mentor couple gave to me, they allowed me to continue my training to get to where I am today. And that act of generosity overflowed in thanksgiving in me. And that thanksgiving allowed me to then go and be generous in my life and seek to bless others that way. Think about scarcity and fear through the lens of the boardwalk picture again. The boardwalk gets us to the other side where we can give because we believe in and trust God's faithfulness. But when scarcity and fear come into the picture, the boardwalk comes crumbling down. We can't bring those things onto the beach with us, even though it feels sometimes like we have to. I love walking on the beach. Like, has anyone ever walked on the beach before? Okay. I never want to assume. But one of the things that is great about it and that I loved when I was a little kid was that when you walk on the beach, you like make holes in the sand, right? And when I was a kid, I remember thinking like, oh no, I broke the beach. There's a hole. But what happens to those holes on the beach? The water comes in and fills them back up. When we are trying to be generous, but we are captured by a spirit of fear and of scarcity, it feels like we are carving holes out of our life that will always be empty when we give. We have to remember that like the ocean water comes to the sand, the Spirit of God comes and fills those spaces with his presence instead. And this is the true benefit of giving, that we get to have more of God. So generosity can be scary, absolutely. We name that, we claim that. But because we have faith, we know that God turns our scarcity and our fear into plenty and trust. And if true generosity is fueled by faith, then we gotta live this way. So how do we do this? I've got three suggestions for you. If faith fuels generosity, then we need to give what we have, having faith in God's promise to provide for us. We need to give our love, having faith in God's promise to love us. And we need to give our lives having faith in God's promise to be with us. So let's talk about giving what we have. Another way to think about this is our resources. It's the things that God has blessed us with. The widow felt like she barely had enough to survive, but she still gave her resources to Elijah. In the same way, we need to be willing to give, trusting that God will provide. Tim Keller says that a lack of generosity refuses to acknowledge that your assets are not really yours, but God's. Everything we have because God provided it for us. But how often do we put greater faith in what we have than in God's provision? I've been married for about 4.5 years. I love my wife, go dogs. She's right there. I'm probably gonna get in trouble for saying that, whatever. So I love my wife, and one of the things that I love about being married to her is that we are continuing to grow and learn together every day. And one of the things that we are having a lot of conversations about is our giving, is our generosity. And whenever we are not on the same page about that, what we have found is that typically that always results from us having a fear of scarcity in our lives. If we give this, we won't have enough left for ourselves. But what we have found consistently every single time that we have given is that God shows us more and more of his provision whenever we step into that space. He comes into our lives and reminds us that these things that the world says that we should want are not actually what we need. How can you be generous with what God has given you today? Like Elijah, we can trust that God will sustain us because God fills the space left by our sacrifice with plenty, with enough. Next, let's move and talk on about giving our love. I mean, generosity is not just about stuff, it's about the love that we give. We can love others because God first loved us. But what does this look like practically? We have to trust that God loves us, and then our love will flow out of that space. This gets back to what Rich talked about last week about believing the promise of the gospel. We must be willing to allow God to serve us if we want to experience his generosity. And the greatest way that he serves us is through his love on the cross. When we trust in God's love, it's easier for us to be generous with our own. The way I like to think about this is through the idea of believing the best in people. I mean, it's easy to love people and believe the best in people if we like them and they feel like our people, right? But it's hard with people who don't feel like our people. But if I, as a sinner, who is so broken, have a God who loves me and still believes the best in me every day, then I can believe the best in others. What a powerful witness to God's love it is when we are willing to love people who think and act and vote differently than us. What a witness to how generous Christ is in his love toward us. It's not our job to defend God or to win anyone over. It's our job to be generous with our love, the way that Christ was generous on the cross. Exodus 14:14 reminds us that we can stand in that promise and trust that it's true. And if we have a foundation to stand on, then we can pour out love as Christ pours his love into our lives. So how can you be generous with your love today? Finally, we need to be generous with our lives. Elijah gave his life to God to serve him. Christ gave his life for us on the cross. Living generously says that our resources and our love belong to God. And it is living life with that in mind. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." What this means is that we need to be willing to live like my mentor couple, understanding that in our giving, we don't need to be afraid because God is with us. Sometimes when we're generous with our lives, we won't know what the fruit of that generosity will be. I'm willing to bet that Elijah never thought that this story about him and some birds and a widow would be talked about thousands of years later. I mean, but what a witness to the fact that Elijah was generous with his life, that we're still talking about that this morning. When we are generous with the way that we live, it's an opportunity for someone else to experience God's blessing by being in relationship with us. At Peachtree, we have 4 mission measures that help us live more generously, be more like Christ. They are that we want to be a people who are grateful, available, curious, and encouraging. When we live our lives with more gratitude, it is a lot easier for us to be available to people, to curiously ask them questions, and to be generous with our encouragement. How can you show generosity with the way that you live this week? Maybe you could keep these mission measures in mind as you walk through your days. Maybe God is laying something deeper on your heart this morning that you could talk to a friend or family member about. Either way, we can trust that when we are generous with our lives, that God's love will pour into us and spill back out onto those who we bless. So where does true generosity come from? Faith fuels generosity. Let's say that again. Faith fuels generosity. We can be generous because of how God has been generous with us, giving us what we need and giving us his love, because God keeps his promises. I want you to look back at this image of the boardwalk one more time. Remember, the boardwalk represents our faith that we can stand firm on, to walk to the beach, which represents the space where we can experience God's blessing of generosity in our lives and share it with others. Is your boardwalk built? And are you walking on it? God has been generous with us, and so we can be generous with others. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your presence in our lives. Thank you that we can trust your promises, that you will keep them, that you are faithful and generous to us in everything. We pray, Lord, that as we continue in this time of worship, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us understand more of who you are and why you love us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.